is the Parsha Sforim. The story with the Sforim, with the books. Hey, Tavis. The background, of course, is I want to learn the Sichus with you so you'll see what the Rebbe said before, during, and after. That's the idea, to hear it from the boss instead of from me. But the short version of the story is that when the Friedrich Rebbe passed away, he did not write a will. And there was some contention. There were some people who claimed that the previous Rebbe's possessions, the house and the library, are personal wealth. The Rebbe clearly felt that didn't belong to anybody. It didn't belong to him. It didn't belong to the Rebbetzin. It belonged to the Rebbe in quotes. That means to say to Hasidim. And as long as nobody did any action, the Rebbe left it. The Rebbe didn't want to make uncomfortable situations, so the Rebbe left this issue unresolved. I explained this to you, Hey Tavis, that when the Rebbe became a Rebbe, he told people that he intends on taking over every Moshe Lubavitch, taking full possession of it, and then giving it back to the people who had it before. In other words, he's not taking away people's responsibility, but he's changing their loyalty. They're no longer working for the Friedrich Rebbe, they're working for the Rebbe. And there were instances in some places in the world where people didn't want to cooperate with this transference of power, and the Rebbe had Dinei Torah see to it that he was the Balabas of Lubavitch. The only place the Rebbe didn't do that was in 770, for obvious reasons. It was very sensitive and very personal. But it blew up when Barry took the Sforim. And as you know, one of the most obvious aspects of the story, which lends to the argument that they didn't belong to him, was that he stole them. He didn't come and claim them. Legally, he came in the middle of the night and took the Sforim. And the Rebbe spoke about Yevis Thomas. And then Yevis Thomas was Sunday night. Then he spoke about a Tuesday night, which was Tezvav Tammuz. Then he spoke about a Shabbos Pashas Pinchas. I was not here. I was in California. I left that the Sunday before. I missed it all. But the week that Fabrengas we saw on Hookup on television, Yubis Tammuz was on the video, and Tezvav Tammuz we heard audio Fabrengas. Shabbos Pashas Pinchas, I wasn't there. After Shabbos, I called my brother. I spoke to my brother. And he described what happened by Fabrengen. There was a regular Fabrengen, a Shabbatik Fabrengen, that lasted till around 5 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, the Rebbe took his chair and turned it towards Maidiv, which meant to say the Rebbe almost had his back to the Rashak, his brother-in-law. And he spoke in a soft voice. The presumption is that the Rebbe didn't want the Rashak to hear what he's saying. And the Rebbe talked in a low voice now for 2 consecutive hours. From 5 till 7, Fabrengen started at 1:30. And he spilled his guts. The Rebbe was so upset. The Rebbe didn't see this as an attack against him. He saw this as an attack against Lubavitch, against the idea of Rebbe, the idea that somebody could take the nechosim that belonged to tzaddikim. And as the Rebbe saw, they belonged to tzaddikim because they belonged to the gemeinde, they belonged to the kohen, to all of us, and make them into private property. The Rebbe didn't see this as a struggle between him and his nephew. The Rebbe saw the Pashas of Lamaila Kitter. The Rebbe was beside himself with pain. Beside. The Rebbe never spoke about it again publicly. Never. It stands to reason that the Rebbe would have continued talking about it publicly, like he talked about many other painful issues. He stopped because something happened, something inappropriate, something wrong happened, and the Rebbe understood that he has to stop. The Rebbe never, ever spoke of it publicly. But in that one week, the Rebbe spoke 3 times for hours. Yubis Tammuz, the Rebbe was very emotional. Tezvov Tammuz, the Rebbe was pushing, screaming. But Pinchas, the Rebbe didn't scream. He spoke softly. And I understood from people who were there that that was the most emotional, the most painful version of the Sforim story. Because the Rebbe saw the touching of the Sforim as an attack on the Friedrich Rebbe or on his connection to the Friedrich Rebbe. All kinds of mystical things. And about 15 years ago, Agur gave out a pamphlet, which is about 30 pages. I have the whole pamphlet in my stack. I printed for you about half of it, where they compiled all of these sikhs. I'm not going to say every single word that Rebbe said is in here, but they compiled and organized all of these sikhs into one composite. And it's, of course, as they say in the real world, off the record. Thank you. This is not the kind of stuff that has to be announced to the world, but it was given out to the Sheikh Sidim, where the Rebbe presents his understanding of what the story is and what should be done about it. The essence of Parshas Sforim is that there's 2 stories. There's a Gashmi Zika story, there's a Ruchni Zika story. The Gashmizdika story is somebody took books, and the Rebbe said, they don't belong to you. He said, why not? I'm an heir of the Friedrich Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, nothing that the Friedrich Rebbe owned belonged to the Friedrich Rebbe. Everything the Friedrich Rebbe owned belonged to the Hasidim, and the Hasidim are very much still alive. That was the Gashmizdika story. The Ruchnizdika story was that there was an argument that said that the power of Lubavitch ended, and that the Friedrich Rebbe had passed away. And the Rebbe said, how could you say the Friedrich Rebbe passed away? The life of a tzaddik is Ruchnius. And Ruchnius never dies. And especially in this case, where you look around and you see that not only is Lubavitch still alive, Lubavitch is actually more alive now than it was 40 years ago when the Friedrich Rebbe lived Begashmius. And the point that ever drew from it was that the fact that this is happening, that someone is taking svarim, which is a claim to the effect that it's no longer Hu B'Chayim, the Friedrich Rebbe is no longer alive, is because the issue is Zarei B'Chayim. Are his children still alive? That's the essence of it. And the Rebbe said the way to win back the Sfarim is to prove Lamata and Lamayla, that means in a court of Lola Havdol and through Ruchnizdike endeavors, that there's still Zarei B'Chayim, his children live, and if there's a Zarei B'Chayim, there will be Hu B'Chayim. This is the story. So you have here three sichas. The beginning, the middle, and the end, essentially. The first part of this stack, which goes until page 7, is the sichas that Rebbe said in 85, Memehei, when Rebbe spoke publicly. The middle of the stack, which goes until page 10, is Memvav. Chanukah Memvav, which was during the time that the trial was actually going on, exactly a year later, Memvav, 86, yeah? Rebbe spoke about the Kitrug. Then from page 11 and 12, you have the Sikh of Hei Tevis Mem Zayin, 87, when we actually won the case. And the last three pages of the stack are the year later, Mem Ches, when the Rebbe officially made Hei Tevis a Yantav. So you have actually four sections, from Mem Hei, Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches. Yud Beis Tammuz Mem Hei, Chanukah Mem Vav, Hei Tevis Mem Zayin, Hei Tevis Mem Ches. Let's read and we'll see how much we can cover. Nimtzai, okay, betkufa achreina. Look at the arrows, okay, page 1 of the most recent times. Nichnasu achadim with Sifriyas Lubavitch. People went into the Lubavitcher library. Sifriyas shehukma v'tupcha, a library founded and developed. Ayadei kvei kvishas mucha admur v'sidin by the Friedrich Rebbe. V'lokhum isham svarim, they took svarim. Eilu shenichnasu l'sham, those who entered in there. Shiru, they presumed. Shiatzlichu l'hischavid, they'll be able to hide. If achad le'edim u'uma, no one is going to know about it. Aval kan his adiv kvegedushes mochad mor. The Friedrich Rebbe got involved. Had a meifus, and he performed the miracle. Shabeis shayatzum isham. When they left, hivchinu b'hem v'ro. They were caught, basically. And how they were caught is a story unto itself. Next arrow, please. Sifriyas Lubavitch. This library, shuhukma v'tupcha de kvegedushes mochad mor, which the Friedrich Rebbe founded and developed. Mahava eitzer bol. It's an incredibly valuable treasure. Baal erech rav v'chashivas rav, of great worth and great value. First of all, you have in it the whole library of Chabad manuscripts. Second of all, you have so much of all of Chassidus. Third of all, you have all of Torah. And moreover, the Friedrich Rebbe's library was not strictly a Torah library. It was a Jewish library. The Friedrich Rebbe had in his library svarim of out and out apokrifos. The rule about the Friedrich Rebbe's library was if it was Jewish, it was his business, not if it was Torah. The story, Bekitz and Nimritz, the story very briefly is that the Rabbeim had a library. The Rebbe had svarim. The Mittler Rebbe inherited the handful of svarim the Rebbe had and expanded it and so forth. The Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe's father, had a library with 15,000 numbers. 15,000 numbers does not mean 15,000 svarim, because a whole set of svarim, like a shas, would be one number. A whole set of Shulchan Aruch would be one number. So 15,000 numbers is probably 30,000 books. 25,000 books. They were in Lubavitch. When the Rebbe Rashab ran away from the Russia, from the Germans in World War I, he crossed borders. So the border was very fluid. And he couldn't take his svarim with him. So his svarim were sent to Moscow. And a chassid who owned a huge storage, and the svarim were put in storage. In the interim, there was the Bolshevik Revolution, The Bolsheviks captured Moscow. Everything became public. Those Sfarim were eventually moved to the Lenin Library in Moscow. The Friedrich Rebbe was looking desperately for this Sfarim. Of course, during the war, it was impossible to think about it. And once the war was over, remember, there were two wars. There was World War I, and then there was the Civil War in Russia, which lasted, you know, quite late. It was impossible to retrieve the books. The Friedrich Rebbe in 1922 was writing letters looking for his Sfarim. First they can't find him, and then they don't belong to him, and then he has to prove it. We're still trying to get those Sfarim back. That's the Sfarim that the Rebbe talked about many, many, many years later. So in 1925, Tavish Behei, the Friedrich Rebbe bought a complete library. I remember as a teenager, I read this before Parshas HaSfarim. I was a kid that was 16, 17. I went to sleep every night reading Igdus Kedush. That's how we grew up. And I remember reading about Oysa Wiener, a man named Wiener, who had a huge collection of Sfarim. And in the Rebbe's Igdus, he describes what he has. He had calendars, he had newspapers, Jewish newspapers. You know what it means to collect newspapers? An incredibly various library, all kinds of different things, a huge collection of Sifrei Torah, Sfarim on Torah, but also all kinds of other things. The Friedrich Rebbe was broke. He had no money. But he purchased the entire library. It was so important to have a library. When he left Russia, the Russians wanted him to leave the library behind. So the Friedrich Rebbe says, if the library stays, I stay. So they told the Friedrich Rebbe, okay, we'll go through the library and we'll take out some books, the most precious books. And the Friedrich Rebbe said, I'm not leaving one paper behind in Russia. And Kach Hava, they didn't even look. He took everything. When the Rebbe came to Poland, he was Moshe Nefesh to buy Sfarim. In hindsight, because of the Holocaust, you understand that Mesidus Nefesh. I mean, there was Sfarim in the Rebbe's library that he bought in the 30s, which would have been impossible to get after the war. Sfarim, which one copy exists in the world, or two copies existed in the world. Friedrich Rebbe did not have a lot of money. He was Moshe Nefesh for the purchase of Sfarim. Mamish. These Sfarim were sent to New York when the war started. They didn't go with the Rebbe. They were sent directly to New York to Agudat Hasidic Chabad in America. And the Friedrich Rebbe claimed that they're not his. They belong to Lubavitch. And of course the Tzadik HaNeged claimed that the Friedrich Rebbe didn't really mean it. He was saying it because he wanted the government of America to accept it and all these other things. But the fact of the matter was the Friedrich Rebbe collected Sfarim that he had no use for.
The Sfarim was only like one copy of it or whatever. Did they have one?
The word stuck is inapropos.
Right.
We live in the golden age of Sfarim. Never in the history of Judaism has Sfarim been published with greater prolificness than now. But there are Sfarim, how do I say this delicately, that are not very useful to very many people. Like rare Kabbalah Sfarim or rare Diktuk books. It would be nice, you know, today with the computer, you don't have to print a book. You just copy the pages. But publishing a sefer has to justify its cost, you understand? So there's many, many Sfarim. The Rebbe has manuscripts. The Rebbe has very precious original manuscripts from the Ramak and so forth. The bottom line is, this library clearly was meant to be for the public. But it wasn't the kind of library like you go in and you borrow a book. This is a library for experts, for researchers who wanted to get rare copies of rare Sfarim, who would come in, and that's how it is today. People can come to the Rebbe's library. Of course. There's a special reading room. You can come. They'll bring you any sefer you want. But the istama that you want to borrow Mishnayos, you go to the Levi Yitzchak library. You don't go to the Rebbe's library. It's a different kind of a concept. In any case, I want to show you the very bottom of page 2 on the right. It says, "Be Leningrad hoya chassid echad kanoi." In Leningrad there was a chassid who was a fanatic. He saw in the Friedrich Rebbe's library a book. He felt the Friedrich Rebbe should not have had such a sefer. It was Mastam Apokursus. He didn't ask any questions. He acted like a zealot, skipped the bracket. He burnt it. When the Friedrich Rebbe heard about it, he was unhappy and he called Hanak. The Friedrich Rebbe's vision for this library was historic. And today, the Friedrich Rebbe's library is not the biggest Jewish library in the world. I remember sitting with Olam Shalom with Rabbi Chitrik, who was very, very involved in the library. He said to me that if there's one thing that's outstanding about the Rebbe's library, it's Kabbalah Sfarim. It has one of the largest Kabbalah collections in the world. He says until recently, it had the largest. Recently, two libraries merged. There are incredible numbers of Kabbalah Svarim, most of whom you haven't even heard the names of. But all kinds of stuff. Now, page 3. Bottom of the page, arrows. Noisaf. By the way, in the part that I skipped, there's a cute little story. The Rebbe found out that the Rebbe Rashab, in his will, left Svarim for his grandsons. The Finnicab had only 3 daughters, yeah? So the Rebbe Rashab wrote in his Tavor that when the daughters get married, the Fidik Rebbe should give each one of the Edom certain Svarim. Not a lot, a few, but they were the Svarim that the Rebbe Rashab himself used. Very precious. So the Rebbe said, huh?
The
Edom? The Edom, the son, they had no sons. The grandson-in-laws, in other words. So the Rebbe said, I found out about the will well after my wedding, and I didn't think too much. I went to the Fidik Rebbe and I said, give me. And the Fidik Rebbe looked at me. He didn't say anything to me. And I saw that he was really not happy that I asked him the question. And that was the end of the story. I never saw the Svarim. And you know what? I'm not upset at him. The point is, the Rebbe says, yeah, it's true that Rebbe Nishma Seidin said that the Svarim should be given to him, but the Rebbe didn't want to part with them. Bottom of the page. Nesef ala omele il. In addition to the aforementioned. Oideis divrek fekdushas mochadmur. First of all, the Friedrich Rebbe's vision was this was a community library. There's a second point, and that is Kesev Kvekidush Mochadmur. The Friedrich Rebbe writes, Bekama Mimichtav in a number of letters, Sha Sifriya Hibabaluso Shalagudas Chaside Chabad. It's not his. It belongs to Agudas Chaside Chabad. Agudas Chaside Chabad is the umbrella organization or the legal organization that represents Lubavitch. Obviously, the Rebbe is the head of Agudas Chassidei Chabad, but every one of us, every person of Avishai Yibavitch Yechuna, is a member of Agudas Chassidei Chabad, and therefore it belongs to us. Omnam yeshna matayanim, there are those who claim shetvarim eilu kasvam kveik dushat mochadmur, that the only reason the Fidik Rebbe wrote that the Svarim were not his was ach v'rach kedei lehetzias Svarim din hipel. He wanted to save them from Poland, so he wrote a lie. Avalamit, inshallah, to be sure, Tayyanim Hain, Haithazu, Sifriya Shalai, Vallay Shalagudas Chabad. It was personal library. So the Rebbe says, first of all, if you understand legal terms, it would have been legally easier for the Friedrich Rebbe to get the Svarim out of Poland by saying they were his personally than by saying they belong to the community. And second of all, it's quite chutzpahdik to call the Friedrich Rebbe a liar. You understand? Ve'ikim, read at the base. Okay, this upset the Rebbe very, very much. So during the trial, that Chaim Lieberman understand. Chaim Lieberman was very close to the Friedrich Rebbe. And unfortunately, whatever the reasons are, it's not my business, he got involved with the other side. He took their side. So the lawyer was asking him questions. And at a certain point, the liar set him straight. Do you think the Friedrich Rebbe was capable of telling a lie? And he became so upset. Impossible! Chas v'sholom! He says, but you're accusing him of being a liar. It was one of those moments that he just was completely lost because there was an inconsistency here. They were claiming that they belonged to the Friedrich Rebbe. He called them what we call aguchs to save them, but they were actually his personal. The Rebbe saying it was never... It's not never the Rebbe. The Rebbe is aguch and aguch is the Rebbe. Page 5. And now we move on from practical issues to spiritual ones. Nesef al kol ha'amaliyim. In addition to everything said above about ownership. And of course, ownership is legal. Halachic and legal. Niglet. Who owns it? There's another thing. Next paragraph, please. This, the last arrow on page 5. Ether b'gemara, the gemara says, Yankav avinu leimes. And this is the neshama of the story. Yankav avinu never passed away. And of course, there's many interpretations. But of course, the one that the Gemara says, Bepashtus is ma zarei b'chayim, af hu b'chayim. Because he lives, because his children live, he lives. V'cheinu b'nid nidan, this is the case here. Sha'apapi sha'ovru, notwithstanding the passage of lamid hei shodim, 35 years, mehistalkuse sha'atvei gedush z'mochadmor, the free yidike rebbe, mikomukim still, mikivan she'zarei b'chayim, his children live. Chassidim shalem dim esteiras ha chassidim shalem. Chassidim learning his chassidis. Following his enactments, he is still alive. This will continue and be drawn out. As long as his children live, ad bias Mashiach tzedkenu, until Mashiach comes. The alachas kama v'kama la achre bias Mashiach tzedkenu. Certainly after Mashiach comes, and the Friedrich Rebbe is going to have hakitzu v'ran yosheich liyofer. And the Rebbe says galdik avar. He says Mashiach is going to come. All the big tzaddikim are going to come out of the ground. Where are we going to go? Says the Rebbe, second line from the end of that paragraph, Yelech kol chassid im herebe shalei. Every chassid with his own Rebbe. Va'anu kulanu and all of us. V'halechad mitanu and each one of us. Neilech im herebe shalonu will follow our Rebbe, Nesidereinu, asher gam atahu b'chayim, that he lives now and he's our Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, umuvan. This is not esoterica. It's not lumbus. I mean literally living. If you can live in the physical world, in other words, begashmis. Shekain. I don't know if you know, this is the Gemara in Masechta Tainis, right? Right? So they said to him, if he didn't die, why did they make Chanita? Why did they embalm him? Why did they make a hesped, a eulogy, and why did they bury him? So Rashi says, in other words, the fanatic, because Rashi nidmalim shemes, he looked like he had passed away. In other words, Rashi learned pshat in the Gemara that Zarin Chaim, he's still alive. Shekein inyan zehu b'chayim. The idea that he's still alive, mevur b'gemara, is brought in the Gemara. B'tor mayna ala shayla, as an answer to the question. The question is, v'chibigdi, was it for naught that saptu saptaya v'chontu chantaya v'cholu, that they make a hesped, that means a eulogy, and chanita means a embalming, and v'cholu means cover of they buried him. Claim it. Hagemara yedas, the Gemara knows. She yeshnam ha-teyanim, that there are those who claim shehoye in shalistalkos, levaya, amiras kaddish, v'cholu, u'bemeila yedin imtzebel mazeh ha-gashmi, consequently he's not in the physical world. And on this, the Gemara says, umachriza and announces, sheyedu kulam, that everybody should know, shalamitish dava lei meis, elohu b'chayim. Next arrow, please. Lei zubulvat. Moreover, not only, shegam la'achara yestalkos hu b'chayim, after a Rebbe passes away, he still lives, ela'edzeis, moreover, shala'achara yestalkos, after he passes away, Nimtza ba'al madein, he is found in this world. Huvachayim yeser mikim eishayim lifnei ha'yiskalkus. More than he was before he passes away. And the Rebbe explains in the last paragraph, because when the tzaddik is in a guf, the guf is a container. It limits him to time and space. When the tzaddik doesn't have the containment of a guf, he finds himself in Elam HaZeh HaGashmi, and he has less constraints. Next arrow, bottom of the left side, page 6. Simple, straightforward language. Kol mitziyusi shall kvei kedushas mochat mor he Lubavitch. The Friedrich Rebbe's entire identity was Lubavitch. Angel mitziyat shall ish prati is not a personal, individual person. Ki manhiga shall tnuas Lubavitch, the leader of the movement of Lubavitch, which is chaye ruche, the life of his spirit. Shaleim maseres nashef, which he sacrificed his life, b'meshach kol yemei chayav, during the entire duration of his life, Ba'al Madain in this world. Ubachain, thus, Mitziyuzu, this phenomenon, Nuas Lubavitch, the movement of Lubavitch, Chaya the Kayemis, is alive and it exists. And in Tafshin Ayin Beis, it's still Chay the Kayem. Ashazui Hamashmoth, which is the true meaning of Ma'azare Bachayim, Af Ubachayim, not only his children are alive, but he is alive. The other Abba, moreover, Yatne Bechay. He's more alive now than ever, but now that Abba gives a different reason. What's the different reason? Lubavitch is more alive. Mikivan Shetnuas Lubavitch, the movement of Lubavitch, which is Chaye Ruche, Heilechas Umispatechas, is becoming bigger and bigger. B'yeses Eisa, B'yeses Eis, Mailam Akevich Meisa Vehele. Therefore, not only is the Rebbe still alive, he is more alive than before. Page 7 at the top. Al pi ha'omer, accordingly, shehu b'chayim, that he's alive, lo nishtana mi'uma la'achrei ha'histalkus, nothing has changed because of the histalkus. U'mikivan shekein, and since he is alive, in his chasidim, and in his work, and in his hafatzah, ein mokum in sheirusha klal, you cannot make an inheritance of a living person. And now the Rebbe gets so emotional and so personal. I mean, the Rebbe said this again and again and again. Just look at the line that I underlined. Lekicha Sefer. You see, the near the bottom of the right side of page 7, where the arrow is. Lekicha Sefer. Taking a sefer from the Fiyika of his library, Mashmusa, means Lekichas Chelet Mechayuse Shal Kfei Kudush Az Mochat Mor. He says in Yiddish, Opreis na shtik leben von Rebbe dem Shver. You're ripping out a piece of life from the Friedrich Rebbe, Rachman al-San. In another place, the Rebbe said, Shtiker Fleisch, the pieces of his flesh. The Rebbe was trying to bring out how gashmiistic this is. The Friedrich Rebbe is so much here that touching his svarim constitutes part of a violation of him in whatever way, physically. I don't know if you know the end of the story. The end of the story was, it went on for many, many years. We finally got back all the svarim. We even got back the svarim that used to sit on the Friedrich Rebbe's table. Friedrich Rebbe had a few svarim on his table, 15 svarim that Barry took. And the svarim were brought back. And of course, everybody hoped that the Rebbe would put these svarim on his own table. So they went into the Rebbe's room and they said, we got back these 15 svarim, what should we do about it? The Rebbe thought and said, put them back where they were. And that's where they sit at the Yemezeh, on the Friedrich Rebbe's table. Upstairs, in Friedrich Rebbe's office. Okay. Page 8, okay? Mishareitze l'mashash b'yadayim. Anybody who needs to have physical representation of all of the above, harayeshnam elu, there were those people, shemiyaskim as agudas chassidi chabad. They represent agudas chassidi chabad. And they're physical people. And they are the legal owners. And therefore, the Rebbe says, it's not really my... I remember the Rebbe screaming, this is not my business. This is the business of every Lubavitcher Chassid. If you are a member of Agudas Chassidei Chabad, this is your business. Now, there's so much more, but that's enough. Now, page 9. This is Tovshin Mem Vov. Now, listen, I say, between Yud Beis Tammuz and Chanukah is how many months? Tammuz of Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvin.
6 months.
In the beginning of Kislev, the trial was one of those weird Hashgacha Pratis, that the 3 weeks of the trial were from Yud Dalet Kislev, which is the Rebbe's wedding anniversary, through Chanukah. It was like so fruitious. It was just, you couldn't have gotten a better time. The 6 months in between were what they call discovery, preparing the trial, doing research and so forth. Then it took exactly a year from Chanukah Mem Vav till Chanukah Mem Zayin, Hey Tavis, for the judge to give his verdict. During those 3 weeks, the Rebbe went to the Oyel every day. During that Chanukah, the Rebbe was obsessive about Miftah Chanukah. And it was very clear that the reason the Rebbe was obsessed with Miftah Chanukah is because the Rebbe's answer was that in order to prove who Bachayim, you had to increase in the Zareh Bachayim. In other words, the Rebbe's point of view, in addition to the practical point of view, which you got to fight the case and argue that it wasn't private property but community property, there was the Ruchnizdik issue, or as we called it before, the Kitr, which is people are saying, are we connected to the Friedrich Rebbe or are we new? And the way to ascertain, to prove that continuity, is to be more alive. Every night, the Rebbe spoke Sichas, Gishturimt, Miftah Chanukah. We went and lit Chanukah in every single city in California, even if there was not a single Jew in town. It's what the Rebbe wanted, to do as much as possible. Here is the Sicha from Motzei Zeis Chanukah, which was Sunday night. And in this Sicha, the Rebbe addresses the question of how could there be a kitrug against Hasidus? Didn't we go through that already? Right? Look at this. Kitrug dugmasei. The question is, how come the Alter Rebbe went to jail? Kitrug dugmasei. Just like the Alter Rebbe had a kitru against him because he went to jail. Happened by the Mezritcher Magid. And as we said before, kitru zed nizbatal amayla. This kitru was broken when the Alter Rebbe told the story, right? I hope you know the story here. I don't have time to tell it. Of the Evan Tevshe Bekeset HaMelech. Next paragraph. Vim kein ish elis shayla. Have a question. Manishtana v'nit chadish. Bitkufa shebein. Nithyuse shalamagid. Skip the bracket. There was a complaint not allowed to reveal Chassidus by the Mezritcher Magid. And the Mezritcher Magid Kitrug was removed. But the Alter Rebbe telling the story of the Evnei Shkesev HaMelech comes a few years later. Alter Rebbe is going to jail. Why? For the same Kitrug. Farvos. It was already determined that you need to bring the crowns, the special stole of the king's crown into the world to save the dying child. Next paragraph, the answer is, shebemeshach hazman, as time passed, nasa shinui ba'eifin gilat chasidus. Every generation is not just continuing what the previous generations did, but doing more. V'lachein consequently, afapishin is batul kiter galam magid. The kiter magid was broken. Turn the page. Nischadesh hakitrog al rabbeinu azakim. There was a new kitrog on the altar there. Beikvis, as a result of hashinoi beoifin, a change in the method of agil l'teiras hachasidus. So what does the Rebbe say? Girls, this is not reading between the lines. This is virtually reading the lines. The Rebbe doesn't want to say, I remember listening to this tabernacle on hookup. We were in California at the time. The Rebbe is saying almost explicitly that there is a kitrug against us, which has already happened before many times, because we're revealing more. You know, the Rebbe called in the Nisnemenov came to the Rebbe of Pesach. I don't know what year. I'm Aleph in the base. 81, 82. The Rebbe called him in and said to him, I'm in the midst of printing chasidus from all the Rabbeim, and I'm doing it in a rush. As soon as I get a ksav, we type it, we edit it, we publish it from the Alter Rebbe, from the Mittler Rebbe, from the Tzemach Tzedek, from the Rebbe Menashe, from the Rebbe Rashab, from the Fidik Rebbe. And no one's learning in the Svar. And the Rebbe says, I think I'm going to pay for it. But ich will nicht nispolven und ich will drucken weiter. I'm not going to allow that to stop me. I'm going to continue printing. When the Svarim Pasha happened, everybody understood. The Rebbe was Pasha telling him that unless the Hasidim learn the Hasidus that he's publishing, he's going to have to be taken to account for it. But the Rebbe said, I'm not going to wait for the Hasidim to learn it. I'm going to print anyway. And then we had Pasha's Svarim. Arrow on the left on page 10. Omlam kasher Rabbeinu Hazokif. When the Alter Rebbe, his chilagals as Taylor's Hasidus, began to reveal Chassidus, skip the parenthesis, much more, there was a brand new kitrug. Next arrow, because of this kitrug, down here it happened, but even page 10, that the government, they saw the Alter Rebbe as a threat to their government, and they arrested him. Next arrow, the ka'omu. My point is, says the Rebbe, ein lahakshe, it's not a question. Midvarav sharabeinu azokin, it is hamashal ben hamelach. Sure, the Alter Rebbe explained the revelation of Chassidus with the king's, with the analog, the analogy of the prince and the special stone in the king's crown. And yet the Alter Rebbe went to jail again. Shaharei ein hamadubar, oides gilia Chassidus, be'efen hamuchrach, la'atzos chayev shal hamelach tipa achas. We're no longer talking about giving out one drop to save a prince. Chassidus is so generous, so available. Yispanus, you know what Yispanus means? You could be machadish in Chassidus. You, a yid. Chassidus is so brought down that we can not just understand it, but add to it. And the Rebbe was very, very clearly implying that this is what happened. And the answer was not to stop, but to increase even more. In the Hubachayim, page 11. Now we're fast forwarding another year. Now we're Mem Zayin. Now that's 87. Hey Tavis, Chamisha B'Tavis. It was a Tuesday. And again, as God wanted it, I was in California. I missed the whole story from start to finish. Okay. Vehine. First arrow on the right. Kedei Ladas. In order to know, Mahu Ha'inyin HaMeyuchad. What special thing? Shabbat Tzarech Liyaz Tetzes Ilin, which you have to grow it. In other words, it was a big nest. This was Dida Notzach. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the story, right? Yeah. Yud Lukrinsky was called to the courthouse at 9 o'clock in the morning. He came back about 8:45, and he went into the Rebbe. And he told the Rebbe, Dida Notzach. You know what that means, Dida Notzach? We won everything. Most people believed there'd be some kind of a pshara. 100%. You know how the Rebbe reacted? He did not react. Just kept putting it, like, thanks for the information. Hey, but outside, when the Chassidim were told, 770 blew up like a tinderbox. By the time that Rebbe came down for Mincha, people were already finished. You understand? Between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, it's only 4 hours. It takes time to get drunk. But it happened in a hurry. We were 3 hours behind in California. We got the news when we came from the mikveh. They're coming from 9 o'clock, we got the news. The Rebbe came down to Mincha, the walls were shaking. The energy was incredible. And the Rebbe made believe he didn't see what was going on. It went this place, and the place was mamish pandemonium. But during Chazaras HaShas, the Rebbe asked for a Chumash. And the Rebbe spoke. I want you to know, that whole week, Chassidim was so inspired, the Rebbe showed no chitzonius, none. And people say, had the Rebbe shown chitzonius, the building would have fallen to the ground. I mean, whatever. But the point is, but the Rebbe spoke. And the Rebbe said, let's examine what happened, what's the Dida Natsach, and therefore, what is the message? Look at what our enemies claimed, and we can figure out what we won. Okay, we did this already. Next arrow, please. That means page 11 on the left. The claim was, so to speak, that Aguch, that Lubavitch, and of course in the language of the Rebbe before, that the Zarei B'chaim is not functioning. Kelo, including Shahasforim, Shahasifiyah, the library, I'm sorry, Shabonim Tzoyim, Asforim, Kif Medach, Eina B'shimush, not being used for Fatah Samayonis. Says the Rebbe, Ulochein, Nishal Sashayl, I don't understand, next paragraph. Hayitochen Sheesh Mokim Latayne Gezu. How could someone come along and say that Lubavitch is not functional? La'achre Shapolu Gedeleiz V'niflois. So much and such incredible things were achieved. Ba'afotah Samayonis Chutz and spreading Chasidus. Particularly, Rebbe came to America. Someone's going to come along and say the last 35 years Lubavitch has not been functional. It's outrageous. It's simply unfactual. We've grown so much. The Zarei B'chaim has increased so much. Next arrow. Himself said, get ready for Mashiach. Mikivin shalineisar lanu ki im. Two puts in the kneplach. All that remains to do is to polish the buttons. And by the way, just a few years after this, the Rebbe made it clear that the buttons have been polished. And he said, if you polish the buttons too much, you'll ruin the finish. But in Mem Zayin, the Rebbe was still saying you got to polish the buttons. And by the way, the buttons started to be polished in 1928. Tafresh Beit Tesem Haseda. Turn the page. So the question becomes, how could anybody have the chutzpah to say Lamato and Lamayla? Lamata, the language is, how could you say Agudas Chassidei Chabad is not functional? And Lamaila, the language is, how could you say that it's not Hu B'chayim, it's the Chazal Zarei B'chayim? V'lachein habir ha-yachidi she-nitan limtze, the only way to explain this, b'torsibo she-gor me-latay nese-elu, here's the Rebbe's logic. Ad lamatev ha-mavel v'asveikis v'chulu she-nimtze b'tkuf ha-chayinahu, that what happened in the last year or 2 years, can only be explained in the following way. Listen to these words. Shlichus shel Elokim. It's a message from the Eibishter. The Tzatzik and Eged, this criticism is a message from the Eibishter. What is the message? Not Zarei B'chaim and Hu B'chaim Chas V'Shalom. Not that Agudas Chabad is not functioning, but Kedei Shaideze Yiteisef Kama Po'amim Koch Ad Leisofa Shalei Be'erech Bafot Samayonis Chutz. When someone comes to you and makes a claim which is brazenly false, and the claim is not only made lamata, it's also made lamailo. And you say, why? How could such a claim exist? The only answer is, every time you have a setback, you racket forward with a greater intensity. So the only explanation for the kitrug is the Eibush to saying, grow. That's how the Rebbe saw it. V'hayro mizeh benigeh lamais lepeil. The lesson practically is, of course, everybody is very, very happy. And so forth. Says the Rebbe, we have to add in that area where the complaint was. An increase in spreading chassidus. So the Rebbe says the complaint was foundless, was baseless, unfounded. It was made, the whole reason for the Yerida was the Tzedek Halil. This was Heitavis. Now, I want to just tell you one more thing, which I didn't put in my stack. The Sikh of Heitavis was on Tuesday. And the Rebbe spoke at Rashi in that Sikh. And then he spoke, Yankel Avinu saw the wagons, right? Tuesday, Pashas Vayigash. Saw the wagon that Yosef had to bring him. And then it says three more words. Vatechi ruach Yankel Avinu. Yankel's spirit came to life. And the Rebbe said those words over and over again. Vatechi ruach Yankel Avinu. What does Rashi say? Shorsa lov shchina, huh? That Yaakov Avinu didn't have Ruach HaKodesh for 22 years and the shchina came back. If you think about the story and the psukim that Rebbe chose to talk on, it so clearly brings out how powerful First of all, how the Svarim affected the Rebbe, and what kind of incredible simcha the Diran Nasach was. Page 13. Okay. Now we're moving another year ahead. Memches. And guess what? I was in Russia. Can't argue with facts. I missed everything about the Svarim I missed. L'chein l'reish, first of all, yesh l'hastil b'pashas hayayim, we have to begin with the pasha of the day. Now girls, understand what happened. Hey, take it with Shabbos. Now the Rebbe had sent out a message after the Nida Notzach that people should forget about the story. Forget about it. The Rebbe even said the Bochrim, again, I was not here, but the Bochrim who were in yeshiva here were collecting the transcripts of the something called legal papers. I have a brother-in-law who has 10 boxes, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of the entire minutes of the whole case, the 3 weeks of the trial. The Rebbe said, don't read it, don't have it, throw it away. Everybody still has it. They don't read it because it's so voluminous, yes? But the Rebbe said, even the verdict, forget about it.
So why do we?
So when it came the next year, so the Bochim put up a big sign that they're celebrating Hey Tavis. And the Gabayim took it down. Because they expected that the Rebbe was going to see a sign, the Rebbe was going to get upset. You have to understand that this is very personal for them. This is Mishpach. A whole Friday they were fighting over the sign. The Bochrim stood there by the Shkia. They nailed the sign into the wall. It was impossible, impossible to remove. A minute. Moreover, somebody asked Rabbi El Kandas, I'm going to prepare a mime of Hey Tavis. And Rabbi El was afraid, he said, because the Rebbe said, now talk about it. So the Bochrim sent the mime to the Rebbe himself, themselves. The Rebbe edited the mime, gave the mime out, and said, whoever prepared this mime doesn't know what he's doing. It's a terrible job. The Rebbe Lachatchila said they should print the mime bilti muga as if it were not edited. The Rebbe Pashit rewrote the mime. And later the Rebbe allowed him to print it. The Rebbe comes from Rengen Shabbos and begins. There's a sign on the wall. You understand? The Rebbe understood the whole power play. And today is a special day. So we have to talk about it. That's in other words, the Rebbe so confirmed what the younger Hasidim felt. It was very meaningful. Yesh lahasko b'pashas hayeh. Kvishach rizu b'efen shal pirsum p'sum anis has been announced that Hey Tavis b'shonash av v'shaboy adida notzach shal asfod. Now just for the record, in case some of you are spitz, it's called Hey Tavis. It shouldn't be called Hey Tavis. In Tavshin Nun Beis, which is 4 years on. In other words, the most recent Fabreng in the Rebbe spoke Hey Tavis, the Rebbe changed the name from Hey Tavis to Chamisha b'Tavis. And in that entire Fabrengin, they again and again said, Chamisha v'Tavis. Look in footnote 11. Ulahoyim l'shein chazal. This is your answer to your question. Ulahoyim l'shein chazal b'negei l'yimei Chanukah l'shon ha'cheres kolom. The story of Chanukah happened. There was no Yom Tov. There was a shaylev. You could make a Yom Tov out of Chanukah. It took a whole year. The chazal would give a Yom Tov. The Rebbe made it clear. Last year, Hey Tavis was the Yom Tov. This year, Hey Tavis is a Yom Tov. Girls, Hey Tavis is the Rebbe's Yom Tov. There is no difference between Hey Tavis and Yitzchak Kislev, except that Yitzchak Kislev is the Alter Rebbe's Yom Tov, and Chamisha B'Tavis is our Rebbe's Yom Tov. And the Rebbe starts talking about the library, and look here, I'm going to let you go 1 minute here. Vayomim ha'elav, these days niskarim v'nas. By remembering the events, they spiritually happen again. B'chaldei v'der klema. This means. The next year when this date comes again, every subsequent year, when we remember the Ness, what happened the first time repeats itself. This is the Rebbe's word. This is not some radical bochet, okay? That this day should be fixed. The Rebbe makes what do the Rebbe say? It's a Yom Tov. The Rebbe calls it a Yom Segula, and an Eis Ratz. Move when it's understood. Shekedei Ladas. If you wish to know, be'eze oifin tzvichem lichtkeg as nitzchenem shal asvarim. How to celebrate svarim? Yesh lishel as asvarim. Ask the books. He celebrates svarim. I'm sorry to be so depressing and disappointing. By learning svarim. Okay. Now on page 14. The Rebbe starts talking about the library. They made a special request. Ubikan in Yenesov, Hashayach be'efen Yoshe, Lesifius Agudas Chasidich Chabad Lubavitch, Lohoisif Ulaharich Avasif. The Rebbe said, we have to, amongst the many things that should happen, because Hey Tavis is, we have to make the Rebbe's library bigger. And a lot of money was invested, and the credit goes to Rabbi Kunyan from California, Shlomo Kunyan. He got money, I don't know from where. And the Friedrich Rebbe's library and the Rebbe's library were joined. You girls don't understand this. When you face 770, 770 is here, and here is the library in the middle. There's a walkway, right? Like a deck. That deck sits on top of a room. The two houses are physically attached, not just by that little overhang, but the entire area between the two buildings is a gigantic room. Between the basements that joins the two buildings, most of the Sfarim are kept in the basement. You know why? Because Sfarim are very heavy. And they have incredibly sophisticated pulley systems. They don't have aisles. They have one aisle. And the Sfarim stack. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of books at this time. And you turn a wheel, and the passage opens here, or it closes here, and open. You understand how they did it? It's very sophisticated. And they also have very good... There's not a bunch of spaces between bookcases. The bookcases are stacked together. And there's a mechanical system that will open up a space where you need it.
The temperature control?
That's right. The environment is controlled so that you can have many more Sfarim in the same space. And the Rebbe's library is functional. You can go there. They always have Taruchot. They're beautiful things you can see on display. They have a reading room. You can go and watch people come.
How do you go there?
Go the side door of 770, but side 770, there's a door, ring the bell, and somebody will ring you in. They're not even going to say who's there.